Let's lift our hands for a moment. Father, we bless you. We surrender. We surrender to your presence in this place. We acknowledge your glory in this house. We submit ourselves to you and your ways. However you want to do things, whatever you want to say, however you want us to move, this is how we will move. And so we just bless you right now. We honor you. Come on, lift your hands and talk to them for a moment. Father, we love you. We thank you. We open up our hearts. We open up our minds to receive your will. We open up our minds to release your will. Yeah. We open up our hearts to release your will. I'll say it again. We open up our hearts to release your will, to release your glory, to release heaven and earth. Father, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name right now. We honor you. We adore you. We worship your holy name. All glory, all honor, all praise, all dominion be unto your holy name. We just bless you right now in this place, God. You've been good to us, Father. And so we honor you right now. We are yielded. We are submitted. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this service as it is in heaven. Whatever your idea is in heaven, let it happen in this service. And we are prepared to receive and release. Yeah, we're prepared to receive, not just receive, but receive and release. So we thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding us in the truth, showing us things that we do not know, revealing us to ourselves, Father. We thank you, thank you, thank you. This service is yours. It can be no other way. This moment is yours. It can be no other way. Bless your word tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I came out here with the scepter tonight. Apostle, you're looking at me. Don't get mad at me for holding your pen. I got this pen with me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I guess what I would like to give a title. We're going to call this In Faith. Everybody say In Faith. Not E-N-D faith. In Faith. I-N faith. Everybody say In Faith. I don't know if I want none of that. I in faith. Everybody say in faith.
In faith.
We left off we were 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's a powerful scripture if you let it be powerful. That I determined not to know anything. I wrote down in my notes, what do we know? What is it that you know that don't look like Christ? Oh, that's a lot, ain't it? Come on, search your mind real quick. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to search your mind right quick, right? Search your mind and find out, what is this knowledge that I have that don't look like Christ? What is this knowledge that I have that doesn't add up to the results that Christ has? What is this knowledge that I have, this fake knowledge I call it, this knowledge that I have that doesn't give me the same results that Jesus told me I should expect? For I've determined not to know anything. Now, golly, we're determined to learn a lot of stuff. We go to a lot of school, don't we? We go to a lot of classes, take a lot of courses, because we're trying to know something. This man said, I determined not to know anything among you save or accept Jesus Christ and him crucified. That'll take a little work, won't it? Yes. To determine. Everybody say, I'm determined.
I'm determined.
Come on, say it again. Say, I'm determined.
I'm determined.
To determine yourself to know nothing but Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
No, not your circumstance, not the report that they gave you, but I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Glory to God.
This is all I know. Come on, say, that's all I know.
I determine
myself to where I get to the point that that's all I know.
That's right. That's good.
I don't know nothing among y'all. I'm right here standing right now. I don't know nothing among y'all. Don't ask me nothing else but that. What we do with this? Jesus Christ and him crucified. How we handle Jesus Christ and him crucified. How I'm supposed to be acting like Jesus Christ and him crucified. You need to die.
Yes.
For I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. and my speech, here we go. Verse 4, let's read it together. Ready, read. Verse 5.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
You want to say in faith? Everybody say in faith.
In faith.
Come on, say in faith.
In faith.
So let's ask yourself, what is my faith in? What is my faith standing in? Right? Now, immediately us Christians, how many Christians I got in the house? Amen. Immediately us Christians say our faith is in Jesus Christ because we prayed the prayer and we got born again. But is your faith in Jesus? Is your faith in the power? What is that scripture? Verse 5, read it again. Ready, read.
That your faith should not stand
where? In the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That means there got to be a transfer of faith. My faith needs to be standing somewhere else other than where it's been standing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the reason I haven't been getting the results that I should get, because my faith has been trying to stand in the wisdom of men and not in the
power of God.
Where, I want you to ask yourself, and you can write this down, where is my faith standing? Now, if you ever get afraid or you're in fear, your faith is not standing in the power of God. That's in the wisdom of men. If you're ever in worry, your faith is not standing in the power of God. Your faith is standing in the wisdom of men. If you're ever in lack, then your faith is not standing in the power of God. Your faith is standing in the wisdom of men. But where is my faith? What is my faith standing in? That your faith should not stand, I'll say it again, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My faith can't even stand unless it's in the power of God.
Yes, sir.
The wisdom of men, I got a scripture we'll go to, and I don't know if I get a chance to, but they got fail in faith. Yeah, you stand in faith, then you got fall in faith.
Yes.
You got faith that stands and faith that fails. Jesus told Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said the enemy is coming and he desires to sift you as wheat. I look up that word sift. I'm going to break it down in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yes.
Failing faith for the standing faith. My faith in the wisdom of men is a failing faith.
Yes.
We've experienced that before, haven't we? Amen.
Yes.
Have you ever thought you was believing God for something?
Yes.
You thought you was believing God for something and it ain't show up.
Right.
Anybody? Anybody have a show of hands? Anybody in the show? All right. Come on. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's how you say it, right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's not the results Jesus get. When Jesus says it, he gets it. Is this not true?
Yes, sir.
So where in between what I thought I was doing and believing and I didn't receive, did I miss it? Maybe my faith was standing in the wisdom of men. Let me give you a quick tip. That many doctrines and many Christian doctrines that we hear are the wisdom of men and not the power of God. They've been teaching us things. Listen, or traditions of men have made the word of God of
none effect.
You got these rituals and you got these principles. You got these steps that they give you. And they tell you, do 1, 2, 3, you'll get it. But you did 1, 2, 3 and you ain't get it, huh? And now you won't say, why God? It ain't him. That's not the power of God. This is the wisdom of men. My faith should not stand. It cannot stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power
of God.
Of God, for years and years, I hear, you know, the faith messages.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, what is faith then?
Yeah,
right? Yeah. And I know some of y'all say acting and believing on the word of God, right? Some of you say you keep confessing it over and over again until something happens, and you believe you're walking in faith. I looked up his definition of faith in the same scripture. I looked it up because, you know, the Greek and all that stuff, and I don't get into too much there, but I won't look at it. And it says faith, and it's such a simple definition, is a conviction of truth of anything. A conviction of truth. Now, we heard all the faith definitions. We heard all the ones, and this got simplified. It says it's a conviction, a deep belief, a deep truth, a conviction of truth. Of anything. So now what is truth? Jesus says, I am the way and the
truth.
So now it's a deep conviction, right? It's a deep conviction
of me being in Christ and Christ in me. Unless we believe that way, we're not in faith. Or our faith is standing somewhere else. That your faith should not stand. We're talking about faith, anointed, and glory. That your faith should not stand where? In the wisdom of men, but where?
In the power of God.
Well, what's that? What's the power of God? Come on, you got all the definitions floating in your head right now, right? I'm waiting on them. What's the power of God? Is it smoke? Is it when somebody fall out? Is it a wave? I'm not saying that. I know the power of God flow like that. But what is the power of God? What is the power of God? Well, I got to know what the power of God is in order for my faith to stand in it. In order for me to have a conviction about a truth about something, I got to know what something is.
Christ.
If I don't know what the power of God is,
right,
then my faith couldn't stand there.
Right.
Is this not true? If I don't know what the power is, I can't stand my faith there.
That's right. That's true.
So I got to find out what the power of God, what the power of God is and where the power of God is.
Yes,
what the power of God is and where the power of God is. Now you ask most people where the power of God is and they say, it's coming upon us. Or we wait for him to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It's somewhere else other but right where I'm at. Heaven is here now. Y'all remember that? Heaven is here now. Come on, say heaven is here now.
Heaven is here.
What is the power of God and where is the power of God? Now if you look up the word power in the scripture, you see the real original definition. The word power and miracle have the same definition. It's the same words, the word dynamis. That sound familiar?
Yes.
What it sound like?
Dynamite.
It sound like dynamite. Sound like something explosive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You put dynamite in there, ain't nothing gonna stand there. It's gonna blow everything out the way.
Yeah.
Dynamis. Everybody say dynamis.
Dynamis.
I said the word miracle and the word power. We were looking for miracles.
Yes, sir.
The word miracle and the word power mean the same exact thing. Every time you find it, every time you look it up, every time you hear it, I got a strong definition in my Bible. Every time I hear it, it gives me the same word. Every time I look it up, I see power, or I see miracle, I see the same word. I say, what is this? What is the power of God? And I start reading it, and I thought I knew what power was. I thought it was somewhere else. Now watch this. It says, strength, power, ability. You ready? It says, inherent power. Inherent power, watch this. Power residing in a thing by virtue of that thing. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's not the power coming to you. It's not the power coming upon you. It's not somebody sending some power to you. No, it's power residing within a thing. Say power in me.
Power.
Come on, say it again. Say power in me.
Power.
Say it again. Power in me.
Power.
It's inherent power. Inherent power sounds like inherited power. That means it's just in there. Now, just because you don't use it, or just because you don't experience, or just because you don't expel the power, don't mean it ain't in there. Everybody say power in me.
Power.
Say inherent power.
Inherent.
In me.
In me.
That's good.
So that my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men that's on the outside. Every wisdom of man that you've ever got was on the outside of you. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every wisdom of man that you've ever gotten was on the outside of you. Telling you how to do this. Do it this way. If you don't do it this way, it's going to fail. That's on the outside. Everybody say the outside.
Outside.
Well, my faith can't stand on the outside.
Amen.
I'll have failing faith on the outside. But in the power, the inherent. Whew, let me read it again. I want to read it exactly like it say. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. And it says which a person exerts or uses. So the power is already in me. Say the power is in me. So that my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The inherent power of God.
Yes, sir.
Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
The inherent power, where?
Of God.
Well, where's that power?
It's in me.
So are you telling me that I've had my faith out here?
Mm.
And my faith should have been?
In here.
That's good.
Are you telling me that I've been trying to put my faith on things? Oh, the things on the outside don't matter. Mark 11, Jesus walking past this tree. We talked about it a little bit last, but Jesus passing this tree and he curses this tree, right? Because the tree ain't got no fruit on it. When Jesus pull up, you got to make fruit. I want you to find yourself in that scripture. Because when Jesus pull up, is he going to find fruit on you? So the tree, you know, he talks about that, every tree that bears not fruit, you cut it off. He gets to the tree ain't got no fruit on it, but it's supposed to have fruit because I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. Me and my Father are one. I should not know if God show up is going to have fruit on it, so you better have fruit for me. See, that's how you got to believe. Come on. So everybody say amen. Come on, say it, amen. See, we call ourselves children of God, but we don't believe we're in the family. Because if we believed we're in the family, we'd walk different. We'd talk different. We'd believe different. We'd say different. We have to stop acting like we're bastard children that don't got no daddy. He gets to this tree and he curses the tree because the tree ain't got no fruit on it. They all excited like we do. And so we get excited because we don't know the power that's in us. There's so many times Jesus says, and when he understood them, because he couldn't understand why they were ecstatic or why they were worried or why they were fearful, because you got in you what I got in me. Y'all got to hear him now. Jesus is saying, you have in you what I have in me. You got to hear him now. Jesus is saying, you have in you what I have in me. They get all excited. He come back. And the next thing he says, they say, oh, look, the tree. The tree withered up. He says, have faith. Where's your faith standing? Where's your faith standing? Right? Not in God. In God. My body is a temple.
Yes, it is. Yes,
sir. Right? They say, low here. We're going to work on it. They say, low here. Low there. No, the kingdom of God is where?
Within me.
Say, within me.
Within
Come
me.
On, say it again. Within me.
Within me.
The kingdom of God.
Kingdom.
Say it loud. Say, the kingdom of God,
kingdom
is within me.
Within
but if the kingdom of God is within me, then everything else outside of me ain't the kingdom.
That's right.
So I refuse to let something on the outside of me tell me where my face should be.
Yeah.
Tell me how I should live. You cannot make me live like you want me to live because my plan is in God. Are you hearing me? Have faith where? Not on him. Not for him. Not have faith in God to do something. I just need your faith in God. Listen. I'm about to say majority, but all of our issues and problems and situations are on the outside of us, trying to convince us on the inside of us.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
But our outside is only a mirror of our insides.
Wow.
Our outsides, whatever we believe on the inside, will be a reflection on the outside.
Yes.
Any issues that you got an issue on the inside. Are you hearing me? Any shortcoming that you got a shortcoming on the inside. Any lack that tries to show itself up outside, you got a lack on the
inside.
See, we got to go inside. Everybody say go inside.
Go inside.
Come on, say it again. Say go inside.
Go inside.
Come on, one more time. Say go on inside.
Go inside.
See, my confession. Everybody say confession. You remember we learn faith. You confess it. You mutter it. You meditate it over and over and over and over and over again, right? And we confess it. And we got these confessions that we make, right? But we've been trying to put our confessions to make the thing happen outside, and nothing's happened on the
inside.
My Jesus.
Because as it happens inside, Mike, it happens
outside.
Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
So now my confession, what is my confession for? What do I say it over and 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 over? Y'all got anything like that? Then I said it over. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing over and over, huh? Y'all, I ain't said that many overs. Y'all gave up, huh? Over and over and over and over again. For a long time, we thought we were speaking that thing into existence. We thought we was calling it to us.
Yeah.
Didn't we? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No, 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 no. All these things be at it. Jesus said, I'll be lifted up. I'll draw all men unto me. It's trying to come to you. Right? Because the inside, the God in you is pulling the will of God towards you. Are y'all hearing me? But if I got a problem, listen, we got to take this pill. We got to take this pill and we got to own up to it. We got to look ourselves in the mirror real quick. Can we do that?
Yes,
if we can do it, say amen.
Amen.
Whatever issue I got on the outside is the issue on my insides.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, it's an attack from the enemy, because y'all know we like to blame everything on him. Colossians chapter 1. Faith in. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see. I'm going to jump to, what I'll do is I'll jump to our favorite one so it feel good. So we'll feel good at first time. I'll jump to the favorite one at first, and then we'll go back and see what he really talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 27. Let's go to verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches. There's the glory. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
Of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is. What is this mystery? What is this mystery? Which is. Christ where?
In
you. Oh. And this is the hope of glory.
Yes.
But I can't.
That's good.
Faith anointed in glory.
Yes.
Y'all got me?
Yes.
Faith, but I can't hope for the glory if my faith is misplaced. Are y'all getting me?
Yes.
I can't go to the glory if my faith is standing somewhere else other than in me. That's almost like you standing somewhere else. Like, just imagine, I'm trying to use it, like your mind not standing where you at, your mind standing over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you imagine how crazy that'll be?
Yeah.
If you standing, come on, you standing right here, your body, you standing right here, but your mind standing over there.
Come on.
It's kind of crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's how we be. That's how we be. Our mind over there, we standing right here, trying to figure out why it ain't lining up. Christ in you, not with you. He with you. He with you. But him being with you will not work for you if you don't realize he is
in
you. What do you say with in and on? I do it with the Lord's Prayer. You know, they say on earth as it is in heaven. Don't say on earth. I be wanting to slap people. It says in earth, and it makes all the difference because you're the earth.
Yes.
So thy kingdom come, thy will be done
here.
As it is in heaven.
Yes.
Do you realize as it is in heaven, it's trying to go through you?
Yes.
You say in on. Do it make that much difference? Yeah, well put your food on you next time. Next time y'all eat, put your food on you. I'll be concerned with my little girl sometimes. I'm trying to see if she's getting enough food in her. Because by the time we have little dinner and I'm feeding her food, I got more food on my shirt and on her shirt and on the floor. Did you get anything? Did you get anything in you? Because it's all over the place. It can't sustain you unless it goes.
Yeah.
See the difference?
Yes.
No, just think about it next time. I want you inside, outside. Everybody say inside, outside.
Inside.
Come on, say inside, outside.
Inside.
Come on, say inside, outside.
Inside.
Next time you go eat. Just smear a little bit on your cheek and see how they make you feel. And then see how somebody gonna look at you when you leave out of there. Whatever that is, smeared on your face. Everybody say inside. Christ,
yes.
In you,
in.
The hope of glory.
Yes.
I wanna go back. We always blame, we're trying to blame the enemy. We don't blame the devil for it's a trial and tribulation. The devil trying to attack me, trying to get me. I'm going to show y'all who the enemy is. go to verse 21. And I want to read this, but for time's sake, I won't read it all. He's talking about having the inheritance of Jesus, the same thing Christ has we have in us, having the right and the access through Jesus Christ. He's made it a way to where we realize what's really on the inside of us. The enemy tricked us about what's on the inside of us. Way back there in the garden. Do I have to go there? No, I have to go there. God breathed in the man. Man became a living soul. He breathed where?
In him.
Not on him. God breathe where?
In.
Say, God breathe in me.
God breathe in me.
Say it a little louder, please.
God breathe in me.
Made in his image. Made in his likeness. But the enemy wants me to reach outside of myself. Come on, come on, y'all. Come on, come on. Come on. I need you to reach for the tree out there. The tree of what? Knowledge, wisdom of men. Knowledge of good and evil. He wants me to reach outside of myself so that I don't know what's inside of myself. If I can keep you reaching, and we play, we say basketball, you reach, we teach, right? You try to reach, you reach. That's when the crossover gets, I'm going to drop you on the floor. Now, because you're reaching. Somebody say, what? You're reaching. If I can get you to reach, you'll never know what you have.
That's good.
I want to say it again. If I can get you to reach, if I can give you to live a reaching lifestyle, you're always trying to get something. Always trying to get something to come to you. You're always talking about what you don't have. How you don't have it. If the kingdom of God is within you, if I don't have to go to 1 John, for greater is he that is
in me.
If this is the case, Brittany, then what don't I have? What is it that I don't have access to? But the trick is to make you think you don't have so you can... Because if I can get you to reach, you won't know.
That's good.
You'll always be reaching. There's 21. Put your finger there. And go to Luke 22 real quick. And I didn't know what this meant. I alluded to this earlier, and I looked it up, and I didn't quite know what it meant, but now I see. Luke 22:33. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Put your name right there. Come on, go ahead and say your name twice. And I want you to say it with some disgust, like, you know, Montreal, Montreal. Behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy what?
Faith.
Fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. I have prayed for you that your faith don't fail, don't fall. But Satan has desired to have you. Why does he want to have you? Leroy Jr. told me the other day, if I can get your power, I'll use your power against you. There is no power but the power of God. Amen. There is. Watch this. Watch this. There is no power but the power of God. And where does the power of God live? In me.
Amen.
You don't know who you are. Ah, oh, man. We're walking around. Yo. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Listen, you're walking around and you don't know the valuable asset that you are. You're a valuable asset to God. Listen to me. You are a valuable asset to God. The fact that you are here means God got a plan coming through you. Listen to me. John 8, Jesus says, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. I was sent here for this.
Yes, sir.
You were sent here to produce heaven and earth. You're not sent here to hold on till you get to heaven. You were sent here for something to come out of you. The power of God is funneling through you. You're a portal of God.
Yes, I am.
You don't know the valuable asset that you are. Your idea of value will become your vision. Whatever you value, that's how you're going to see it. No, I'm going to say it again. Whatever you value, that's how you see things. Right? If you're valuing something over there and over there, you never see what's here. You'll never see the valuable asset to God that you are. You'll never see that God is smuggling his power through you.
Wow.
Do y'all realize that God has smuggled his power in the earth? He smuggled his power. He did it with Jesus. Had he known, he wouldn't have crucified him. Right? And now he's trying to keep you from dying. Right? He started trying to say, man, he said, last time somebody died like that, they got up. Last time they got up with all
power.
And Jesus was walking in power before. I got to keep him from dying. I got to keep him alive. Make him feel it. Staying alive. Staying alive. So you're doing everything to try to fulfill life. Them trips ain't going to do it. The other house ain't going to do it. You're going to sit up there and still be looking for something. That's what I'm trying to say. God is trying to send the other house to you and add it to you. Now, you can't add something to nothing. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying? Because if I can't add something to nothing, if I try to add something to nothing, that means I created it. So I can't add something to nothing. So if something be added to you, you must be something already.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I must be something already. Say, I must be something already.
I must be something already.
But Satan and the name is the name. But I'm going to call it a word right now. Satan means an evil influence.
Yeah.
Not the little dude running around the pitchfork. They branded him so you'd be confused and you'd be deceived of where he was at. Yeah, the horror movies and all the exes and all that, they branded that. They branded it that way so you'd be confused and deceived to what's really going on. It's actually with you in your normal mind. On your normal everyday working and your normal, even when you're praying in tongues. Yep. Sometimes they're at church with you. The evil influence in your mind. Sometimes the evil influence say, I don't know what he's talking about. Let's say, you go, look at the word Satan. It means an evil influence. Satan desires to have you. Because if I have you, I have the power of God. If I have you, it's almost like having a big gun or whatever it is. Or you know when they hook the hose up, when the fireman hooked the hose up and took it to the fire hydrant, and then the water just shooting out of there. It's almost like if I can get you, you the hose, the fire hydrant, the God is coming through. But if I get you, I can shoot that energy anywhere I want to. And I begin to make what I want to make flourish with your power. Now that's a doggone shame. Somebody use your power. And you living like you ain't got no power.
Come on.
That's a doggone shame for somebody to take what's yours and use it somewhere else and you standing here without.
Come on, Jesus. That's good.
Yep. That's good.
He says, Satan, watch this, decides to have you. You ready for me? And he says, sift you as wheat. I said, sift. Sift me as wheat. What are you talking about, sift me as wheat? Well, I'm just going to hit it again. I sift. Let me get to it, because I want to read it the right way. Let's see. Luke 22. I'm going to get it a second. Luke 22. I hit the word sift. And it means to shake. Watch this. Or to see. Watch this. Here's it go. You ready? He says, an inward agitation. I just, you know, we thought shift is just in the air, something like that, right? We come up. No, he said, he shift. He said, Satan had desired to have an inward agitation in you. To agitate who you really are. I want an inward agitation. I want you to be confused on the inside. I want to agitate you. It's not something that I'll say, Jesus is telling us, love your enemies, pray for those who despise. You know he said, love your enemies? He's talking about you. Love that enemy in you. Okay, I need to break down what love is. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. You can get emotional. You can have some feelings. But love is an identity. Say love is an identity. Come on, to love is to identify. I'll prove it. They say God is love and love is God. Right? So that God ain't no feeling. That's a person. Say love is a person. Watch this. So love is an identity, and love is to love is to identify, then it means identify your enemies. Love your enemies. Identify your enemies. Well, who's your enemy? Well, it can't be the devil because he already defeated.
Right?
So he don't count. Everybody say he don't count.
He don't count.
Say it loud. Say
he don't count.
A little louder. Say he don't count.
He don't count.
So if he don't count, then what enemy is messing me over? So inward agitation.
Inward.
I'm trying to get in your head. I'm trying to get in your mind. And I want to have you thinking about everything else but Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you thinking of everything else other than the kingdom of God is within me. I want you thinking of everything else other than greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I want you thinking of everything else but what's on the inside. And so I drop little seeds of tares into your mind. So you see why Paul says I determined not to know anything? Because you're knowing all that stuff and they're dropping them seeds of doubt. It's an inward. Everybody say inward agitation. It's an inward agitation. I'm trying to agitate you from the inside because I know that the power is coming from within you, not outside of you. I ain't trying to stop you out here.
My Lord, Jesus.
I won't stop you where it starts. Yeah, Rachel, you see that? Yeah, I want to stop you where it starts.
Yeah.
I want to stop you at the beginning of your thoughts. I'm trying to get in your soul. I'm trying to get in there because I know if I can get in there and I can influence that, I can influence everything. Every crazy thing that's ever been created in mankind was created by mankind. Evil influence. The power of God working through man, but the evil influence got man to create some stuff that he shouldn't have created. He got us to create some stuff we shouldn't have created. Come on, put that hand up and on it real quick. Come on, y'all pray for that thing and you know you ain't tell nobody, but when you got that thing, you gave a testimony, but when you got it, you're like, Lord, I want to take this back. Y'all know it, tell the truth, shame.
Yes, sir.
Deny yourself. Lose your life to find it. Lose your idea of life to find what's really in you. Go back to Colossians. I hope you kept your finger there a long time. Colossians 1. Verse 21. And I love the subtitle starts right there, verse 21. It says, Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me,
Christ.
The hope of glory.
Hope.
Watch this. Hope is Christ in me that expects glory. Right? If it's not Christ in me, then I can't expect the glory. Not Christ around me. Not Christ in somebody else. Christ. And this is the hope of glory. That's the mystery. This is the mystery that's been hidden. It's hidden where? That's been the mystery the whole time. Lord, reveal to me the mystery. Open your eyes and look at yourself. Open your eyes and see who you are. Not who they told you you was. You are not the last mistake you made. That's not you.
That's right.
That's an evil influence.
Amen.
That's something that agitates you on the inside and make you function like that on the outside. That's not who you are.
Amen.
And you, verse 21. And you. And you. Everybody say, and me.
And
come on, we're going to own it. Say, and me.
And me.
I don't like that. I like that, and you. That was sometime alienated. Hold on. Hold on, we're going to see who the enemy is, huh?
Yes.
Y'all see who the enemy is now?
Yes,
I ain't make this up. That's in your Bible too, right?
Yes, sir.
Ain't no, we ain't adding, we ain't taking away that's in there. All right, and you. I want to make sure he say, and you.
Yeah.
And you. And I say, and me now. And me.
Yeah.
Who sometimes are alienated. All right, so can I break it down? Let's go to English. And you that was sometimes alienated. And you. The enemy in your mind. Enemy where? Enemy where?
In my mind.
I become an enemy in my mind. He's dropping seeds of doubt and unbelief to cause me to be an enemy in my own mind.
Come on.
An enemy in your own house. Now, I'd be doggone if I invite the enemy in. I'd be doggone if I invite them in knowing that they mean me harm. What we watching? What we watching? What we listening to?
Yes, sir.
What we reading? What we taking in? Faith comes by?
Yes.
I'm determined not to know anything among you. Say, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what we watching? What we thinking? Who we talking to? Who we having the conversation with the most? Does it sound like Christ? Because I'm inviting the enemy in. Enemy in my own mind. They said sometimes you were alienated. Alienated sounds like the word alien, right? That means you just was estranged. You don't even know where you come from. You don't even know who you are. Because the enemy's in your mind. Trying to show you the mystery. That Christ in you. The hope of glory. But you keep letting the enemies in. And they're calling you out your name. Inside, inward agitation. Inward agitation. Oh. An injected power, an inherent power. The power is injected in you already. Power residing in a thing by means of his nature. Our faith, watch this, our faith stands in the power of God in us, not outside of us. I want to say it again. Our faith stands in the power of God, where?
In
us, not outside of us. You get me? Now, God is everywhere, I get it. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent, right?
Yes.
But if he's everywhere, that means he in me too. John 14. And I want to be clear about this. It's a lot of end talk I'm about to have right quick. John 14, let's start at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Y'all reading it? Yeah. Look at it. Only on pause so you can read it. Well, you know him. For he dwelleth well? With you and shall be well. I will not leave you comfortless. Why y'all asking the Holy Ghost to do stuff outside of y'all, not in you? Don't send him nowhere. Don't send him nowhere. Holy Spirit, go over there and do that. He said, you go do it. Holy Spirit, go over there and you go do it. There's a scripture that Jesus has. I don't know. We don't go on this too much. He said, in that day, you're not going to ask me nothing. Nothing, Jesus? Wait, nothing, Jesus? We always asking Jesus something. You know, this is the day you're not supposed to be asking nothing. But we always asking Jesus something. Jesus, go do this. Jesus, do this. Have I not done enough for you? I will not leave you confidence. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And that day you shall know. I want y'all to read verse 20. Ready, read.
And then you shall know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I
am in the Father, and you in me,
and I in you.
A equals B, and B equals C, then A equals C.
Yeah.
If I'm in the Father,
yeah.
And you in me, and I'm in you.
Yes.
Then it means the Father is in you too.
Yes.
And you in the Father. Have faith where? In God.
Amen.
I was about to say this is where you are, but I really want to say that's who you are.
Yes.
Who I am is in the Father.
Yes.
Say that. Who I am.
Who I am.
Come on, say who I am. Almost don't sound like good English. Who I am,
who I am
is in the Father.
Is in the Father.
Now, you when it comes down to Jesus, you really don't need a whole lot if you pay attention. Right? You know, say, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Yeah,
Jesus, one word is enough. There's two, three, all the witnesses right there. If he says that you and me and I'm in you and I'm in the Father and the Father, then that means that I'm in the Father. I'm in the Father. Say it.
I'm in the Father.
And the Father in me.
Father.
That my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God, the power, the inherent power, the power by someone's nature of God, of God's power is in me. But I've been using my faith in the wrong place. I've been putting my faith on that thing or that circumstance or that issue, and that's why it's been failing.
Yeah.
Because faith can only stand in the power. And that day, that's today. Everybody say it's today.
Today.
Come on, say that day
is
today. Today you shall know that I'm in the Father.
Yeah.
And you in me and I'm in you.
Yes,
there is no separation. Say there is no separation.
Yes,
there is no separation between me and God. John 15. I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch where? In me. Go ahead. John 15. Y'all get to hurry up. This is just one page. John 15. Verse 2. Every branch in me. You get it?
Yes.
Now you are clean to the word I spoke to you. Verse 4. Abide where?
In me.
Abide where?
In me.
Abide where?
In me.
And I in you. Abide. What does it mean to abide? That means I live there.
Yes.
I live there. I'm not visiting.
No.
I'm not visiting. I'm not going on a trip. I live here.
Yes.
I live in Christ. Say it.
Yes, I live in Christ.
Jesus.
Abide in me and I in you. Let me live there. Let me live in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide where? Not on the vine. Y'all remember there was an abiding in the vine? Up, we didn't know what we were singing. It was a good song, had a good rhythm, huh? No, in the vine. No more can you. Are you telling me that I ain't, are you telling me, hold on. Are you telling me that I can't produce no fruit? Hold on, what have I been producing? What have I been calling, it's GMO. We've been producing the GMO fruit. Y'all don't know it, genetically modified. It ain't real. Them GMOs ain't got no seed. If there's no seed, there's no eternity.
Right.
Did y'all know that the seed was the key to eternity? Because it just keeps going. Inside the seed is the fruit, and inside the fruit is the seed, and it keeps going. It's the beginning and the end is the beginning. The seed, y'all ain't with me. The seed will is the beginning and the end. It's the key to eternity. But see, them GMOs ain't got no seeds. And so you keep getting them GMOs, them genetically modified fruits and vegetables, and you know what you got to do? Keep coming back to them. You got to keep going to the ones that's making it instead of realizing you a maker.
That's right.
Is this really fruit that I'm producing? Fruit by whose standards? Fruit by whose standards? What does Jesus see as fruit? Does it produce after its own kind? Can it reproduce? Can it love your neighbor as you love yourself? Or is it just for me and my four and no more? Is it fruit? Is it fruit? Look at your neighbor and say, is it fruit? 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 That fake fruit. Is it fruit? Is it fruit? I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much? Much fruit. For without me, but Jesus preaching right here, boy. They say he in his bag right now. He said, without me, you can do nothing. What we've been doing without him. Anytime we don't get the results he get, we've been trying to do it without him. Without me, you can do nothing. So anything you do without me is nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. That's our favorite one right there, right? Ready, read. If. There's an old statement. Say, if was a fifth. We all be drunk. If you don't know it, you just don't know it. I'm not about to explain it to you. If you abide in me. So the question is, if you say if, there's a possibility that you won't be abiding in him. Now you're in him. You're in him and he in you. You abide in me and I'm in you. That's what he said. You know that I'm in the Father, Father in me. The problem is that enemy in our mind, that agitation on the inside makes us forget who we really are. It makes us forget who we are and where we are. Now watch this. I'm going to say it again. You're in the Father. Okay, in the beginning, God breathed the man. Man became a living soul. Do we believe that? Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
You believe God? So y'all believe that the beginning of our breath started with God breathing in us, right?
Yes, sir.
Did he ever inhale and bring it back? Give me that air back. He never did it, right? Are you still breathing? If you're breathing, say yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're still breathing, then God's breath is still going through you. So God and your relationship has never changed. Your mind changed.
Oh, yes, sir. That's true.
You forgot who you were and started acting like somebody else. You forgot who you really were and where you come from and started acting like something else. Just because you're not producing like you're in the Father don't mean you ain't in him. So I got to straighten out my soul. I got to straighten out my mind by all costs. I got to do whatever it takes. I determine not to know nothing among you. By all costs, by any means necessary, I condition my soul to the truth of who I am on the inside. Are y'all seeing me? Stop wasting your time on that outside stuff. Can I tell y'all that? Stop trying to throw them prayers at stuff. I'm trying to throw some anointing at something. I'm trying to stop. You're wasting your time. You're wasting energy. It's called wasted energy. Matthew 11, Jesus started talking about, he said, come, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. In where? In heart. And you'll find rest for your
soul.
For my yoke is, and my burden is.
Light.
All right, so watch this. What if you took time and spent your time not praying on the stuff on the outside of you, but realizing you on the inside? What if you were using your faith for that? Now, all the darts are going to come tomorrow and try to get you to have an outside fight. But the outside fight ain't the fight. Because there's only one fight. Y'all must not have been here on Sunday. It's only one fight. And that's with me. It's a fight to not die and to die. And I got to win the fight and die. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I say this. Jesus, watch this. Jesus is consistently warning us about the outer things that neutralize or paralyze our inner faith. He's consistently warning you. He tells Peter, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. Why? Because thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Matthew 6, he says, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. All that stuff is outside of you. But seek first the kingdom. Where the kingdom of God at? Wow. Are you mean to tell me Jesus is telling me seek the inside? You stop checking on. I'm going to check over here and I'm going to go over here. And I'm gonna check. No. Just check right here first. Check right here first. That's where the power is flowing through you. Are y'all hearing me? He's constantly warning us about the outer things that are neutralizing or paralyzing our inner faith. Matthew 8, real quick, and then we're in there. Go to it quick, because I want to read it. Matthew chapter 8. And he's talking about great faith, right? Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And then centurion, some of the centurion faith, he said, Jesus was entered to Capernaum, and there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lying at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, doeth, and he doeth it. In other words, I understand where authority is and how authority works. Are y'all seeing it?
Yes, sir.
Watch what he said. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not where.
In Israel.
Where?
In Israel.
Everybody say in
Israel.
Say it again, say in
Israel.
Come on, say in
Israel.
We're talking about in faith, right?
Now,
the Lord showed me something. I'll read it. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east, west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we immediately went to hell with the outside, outer darkness, and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord showed me something. You got to catch Jesus in what he's saying. I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, Israel is not a place as a person.
Amen.
Y'all thought Israel was a place? Israel was a person. His name was Jacob.
Yeah.
He changed Jacob's name to Israel. The reason I say not in Israel, because I have not found such great faith in you people. Faith where? I hadn't found the great faith in there. And so they're going to be other people that's going to benefit.
Wow.
They're going to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. They're going to be inside of God's way of doing things. And the children, the ones that are sitting in service all the time, the ones that are supposed to be in there, going to be cast in the...
out of the...
No, he ain't say he's going to send you to hell. You're just going to be outside. Wow. The power is inside.
Yes.
Great is he that is.
Amen.
If great is he that is.
Amen.
In me, then if I'm out here, I ain't with the greater one. If the kingdom of God is, then if I'm out there, I ain't in the kingdom of God. That my face should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in
the power.
If my faith, I'm going to stop it right here. If my faith is not standing in the power of God, in the power of God that's in me, if I don't realize that the power of God is flowing in me, if my faith is not standing there, are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
Then I'm casting myself into outer darkness. Mm. I'm casting myself into a place where I can't see what's going on. And the weeping and gnashing of teeth is just a result. They say, this is what he say, Junior. He say, but when he come, will he find faith? Now, he not looking for faith on the ground. He not looking for faith for what Apostle told y'all. Apostle got his faith. He operating inside. Is he going to find, because he's going to look for the faith where? Where I put it. I put it there and I designed it to be over there. Am I going to find faith in there? Amen.